your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Live and direct from the phantom shores of the Hudson River, my name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we are all vibrating the same frequency. It's a cold and chilly night here in New York, and my special guest tonight is author Miss Tessa Dick. And Tessa has been a writer, a teacher, a researcher, and she is also the widow of legend author Philip K. Dick. And tonight we will go deep down the spiral of timelines, deja vu, fate, and what is reality, and is it being altered, and is this all by design, and is AI interweaving with our species? All these possible topics can be unveiled tonight, and you can find our guest tonight at tessadick.com, and if you go to Facebook, you can also find her blog spot that she has on there as well. And I want to welcome to Spiral Radio Ms. Tessa Dick. Welcome, Tessa.
Oh, good evening. Nice to be here.
Yes, and it's definitely my pleasure, and I know you were saying it's chilly where you're at too, up in the mountains, right? So it's cold all over tonight.
Right. So where's my global warming? I could use it tonight.
Yeah. I think we're more towards an ice age than a global warming.
Well, those of us who are older remember all the teachers telling us in the 60s that we were headed into another ice age. Maybe they got it wrong, or maybe we don't have warming.
Yeah, you know what, and I don't think they really give us the truth anyway. I think they're just coasting us along a certain designed way, what they want us to think and what they want us to believe. And you know, basically, most of what we're told in schools is a lie, even history.
Oh, yeah. Or they just leave things out.
Yeah. Well, it's all in anything, right, Tessa? The winner it tells the story, right? Or whoever's the survivor tells the story. So you're only going to get that one biased view.
Well, just as an example, in school they tell you that Abraham Lincoln was killed by a crazy out-of-work actor. And that's all they tell you.
Yeah.
They don't mention that six people were hanged for the conspiracy to kill Lincoln.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Well, I didn't know it from school. I learned it from a lot of reading in books they didn't show us in school.
So they were just looking for someone to pin it on.
Well, at least the 20th century schools were.
Yeah, wow, were they saying that all six people could have done it at one time, or they all conspired to do it?
They conspired, they had a trial, they were found guilty, and they were hanged.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, when you're executed, you are not hung, you're hanged.
Hanged? Yeah, everybody uses it, hung, huh? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, your clothes are hung in the closet.
Yeah, yeah, and like that old game, The Hanged Man. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In tarot, it isn't the hung man. That means
man.
Something
yep.
else.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. It says it's hanged. It's not hung. You're right. You're completely right. So,
I can't help it. I'm a recovering English teacher.
Yeah, you know what? That's dangerous to talk to an English teacher. It's very dangerous.
Well,
yeah.
I don't follow all the rules because some of them are stupid.
Like, what's it like? Okay, so they used to always tell me that's in a positive. So when you're using a positive, do you have to put, like, if I say, hi, my name is Ra, so I would put, like, Ra, comma, and then another comma after, like it would be, like, a comma and then a statement and then another comma after it?
I wouldn't, because it's short.
So when do you use an appositive? I know this has nothing to do with paranormal or anything else.
That isn't exactly an appositive anyway. But
yeah.
The thing about commas is that they're there to help you understand what it means. And in something that short, you don't need commas. You understand it.
Oh, okay. So that's what an appositive is for, is to help you, it's like for
a positive would be like... the sky is blue, azure. Blue and azure are positives.
Cool. All right, I get it.
There's more to it than that, but we don't have all day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you basically spent how long with Phil Dick? About 10 years, maybe?
About 10 years. And we were married for almost half of it.
Wow. So you spent a good 5 years before you got married, or you got married right away and then got divorced? Or?
We lived together for about a year. We were married for about 4 years. And then he moved out and moved in with another woman, so we got divorced.
Wow. See... My impression too, that it was, you were more met, introduced by some sort of unseen force, almost by design. And that's the impression that I get. And, you know, I can't prove certain things that I say. It's just certain things that come to me. But when my body starts to respond to certain things, and I get like goosebumps and chills, and so I get certain feelings about it, I don't need really proof. I kind of just know. And I think that you guys kind of met by design. Like it was sort of, I don't want to say that the feelings weren't real, because I know the feelings were real. I mean, you guys even had a child together, right? Or two?
One.
One, you had a son, right?
Right.
So yeah,
and
so
that one was enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, somebody definitely set us up to meet. The real question is why.
Yeah, that is the true question. And see, we have something in I come from an Italian lineage, but they're from a shamanistic line originally, and it's sort of, we believe that our abilities are passed down through the genetic line, through genetic traits. And my family, they're most likely considered like a dream seer or something like that, to that effect, or shamans. And
yes, I'm familiar with one Strega. Italian witch. I'm not sure whether she's still living, but she used to appear on radio talk shows quite often.
It's not Lori Bruno, is it?
Pardon?
Was her name Lori Bruno?
No. I'm drawing a blank, but it might come to me before the show is over.
Well, the thing is that we have this lore, you know, and to us it's not lore. It's kind of like history. But we have this lore about these beings called the Capinera. And Capinera are like the men in black. You know, they're basically time jumpers. They're not like what people think the men in black are, like agents or something like that. They're people or entities that exist on an alternate universe, an alternate reality in another realm. And they actually jump timelines and alter realities. They'll put artifacts, books. They'll change the words in books. They'll change little things in reality to try to alter the timeline, to put it to a certain designed way to try to help a situation or hurt a situation. And we call them the Capinera, and I feel that this is something that is going on with not only your relationship with Phil, but his whole life. And I think that our physical world here, this material world, we've been hijacked in a way by this dark force, and that we're coming into entry with amnesia. We don't know our true mission here. We don't know why we're here, but we all know that we're meant for something more, or most of us know that, you know. And I think there's a couple hundred thousand of us that are like these spiritual soul family that agreed to come in here to help this world and to advance it spiritually. But now we came into it, and it's sort of like we have amnesia, and we don't know our true mission that we've agreed to come here. And I think Phil and yourself are two of these examples, and that he was kind of put here for a certain reason, and he tapped into it some way, and he's using his books to insert the little messages here and there to help remember and awaken. And I think that is kind of what's going on.
Oh, by the way, the name of the witch I've heard is Evelyn Paglini.
I've heard of that name, yes, yes. Yeah, I know that name. Yeah, I don't know if she's still alive, but she used to be on the radio. In fact, one of my past guests, Paris Tossin, he had mentioned her before as well. And she used to do radio back in the 80s and stuff, right?
I think the 90s. I think I heard her on Art Bell
before he
retired. Yeah. Before the second time he retired.
Yeah, yeah. Then he did like Dark Matter and stuff too, I think.
He's still around, but, you know, we aren't getting any younger.
Yeah, and the one thing about being a writer, too, is do you ever retire as a writer? Like, does anybody ever stop writing?
Well, I finally have time to write.
Well, that's so part of it.
So far, I've written two books about Phil, and I'd rather get on with my second murder mystery, but people keep asking me to write more, so I'm working on a third book. I need to get out and see the new Blade Runner movie to flesh out this third book. But from what I've read, it's more Ridley Scott's version than Philip K. Dick's.
Yeah, so you... Okay, so let's get into that a little bit if you want, because I know that you wrote Remembering Firebright, right?
Yes.
And that's kind of like talking about his mystical experiences. I don't know why I want to jump too much and go off topic a little bit, but We were going to get there eventually anyway. But see, I feel it's part of it too. How you say, "Oh, I finally have time to write." I think that's part of it. Part of us. I think we're all part of this soul family, and that we're come here for a certain mission. But we have this amnesia, right? And I think that the dark force that's ruling this plane, this material world, is going to put special people like you and Phil in certain situations where they're going to be always in poverty. They're going to always be preoccupied with this material world nonsense and never seem to get it together. So they're always preoccupied. So they're not going to be able to explore that spiritual side because they're going through all these life problems and dilemmas. And I think that's a big part of what's going on as well.
Could be. You know, in Greek myth, when people died, they were not gone. They went to Hades, and they were supposed to drink from the river of forgetfulness to forget all the sadness of their life on earth, and then drink from the river of memory in order to remember their eternal, immortal life as spirits.
Yeah, you know, and it's, you're drinking from the river of consciousness from the past, and you know, the river of consciousness, you know, is what brings us the knowledge and wisdom from our ancestry and our DNA, and I think that's the way of tapping into it in this life, in this material world, is to awaken that DNA, that material from your ancestors that's within inside of us. And I think that's what Phil was doing through his writing as well, is that he was helping people remember what we already knew.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I had a thought, but it escaped me again.
Don't worry, that happens all the time. You know, the more information you put in, things are going to come out. It's like a storage facility. You only can fit so much.
Well, we definitely are here for a reason, and that reason is definitely obscured, which is not a good thing.
No.
Catch glimpses here and there, and Phil caught quite a few glimpses. Of course, he took the chance and just became a full-time writer, primarily because he had so many phobias it was hard for him to leave the house, and he could write without going anywhere, without leaving.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, part of the reason why, you know, you guys were put together is because you're very psychic. I could feel it just in your energy. I don't know if you've lost it over time, but I'm pretty sure when you were a kid, you were really psychic, probably even more so. And I know that you have it inside of you. And I think that psychic energy helped him when he needed it, even though if you didn't realize it did. And I think that he was.
Well, have you read Firebright?
No, I was just reading about it on your Blogspot.
Oh, well, it's actually more in my memoir about my own life, my life on the edge of reality. But I was a subject in a government-sponsored experiment in psychic phenomena. And I deliberately refused to cooperate. I gave wrong answers on purpose, because I felt I was being used and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So there I was, 7 years old, thinking, no, this is not for me.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing for some, you know. It scared me as well. It's kids don't want that kind of pressure. They don't want that kind of knowledge even.
Well, I didn't have a problem with being psychic, I had a problem with being used.
Yeah, it's pressure. Yeah. It's too much, and especially if you're being used as a guinea pig, that's That's ridiculous. Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's what it is. And, you know, part of who we are, I feel, is they're going to be watching, you know, certain forces are watching those that are high spiritual energy and have high psychic abilities and psi abilities, and they're watched on all sorts of levels. And those that can, like, shatter that mirror matrix and the machine, despite all of it, are in real danger. Because if you're able to succeed and break through and see a little glimpse of the actual reality, that's when the real danger sets in. And I think that's what the Phil's paranoia, you know, came from, is that he actually caught a glimpse of what was taking place, and the paranoia on finding out that actually people were watching him as well, and it wasn't paranoia, really sent him over the edge and probably made his health decline very fast. And, you know, in a way, that is like killing him, in a way. In a way, that's like murdering someone. If you're causing their health to decline through causing them to be paranoid and all of the, you know, symptoms that they caused, in a way, it was by design as well.
Well, we were definitely bombarded with electromagnetic radiation, probably microwaves. It was probably a prototype of the voice of God technology that the CIA is so proud of.
Yeah, well, if you just have a radio or a TV or anything, they could tap right into the microwave signal or whatever they do, however they do it, and they could, like, point their energy towards it and hijack it.
Yeah, they did hijack our radio, so we unplugged the radio, and it still kept playing, so we shoved it in the broom closet so we didn't have to hear it.
Wow, you know, and it's weird because I heard in my head right before this when I was thinking about the interview, and I tried not to listen to too many interviews. I listened to a quick one with you and Solaris just so I can hear your voice. And I don't try to listen to too many interviews or dudes because I don't want it to get in the way of my interview and you know, somehow, like, throw me off another way. So I want it to be pure. And in my head, I was hearing through Cat 5's eyes. So I don't know what Cat 5 is or the Cat's 5, but did you guys have, like, 5 cats or the 5th cat or 5th something? And some cat's eyes, because I think the cat somehow helped him break through this hypnotic state that this technology that was looking at and interweaving with his life, like through the radio and through the TV and through different things that were taking place. Because I think they had cameras in his house and microphones and all that type of thing. I think that somehow the relationship with his cat and looking in the cat's eyes opened up the spiritual realm for him and helped him in a way. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but...
Well, we had one cat, and he was an integral part of the experiences Phil had in 1974. But right now, I have 5 cats.
Wow. Huh.
And cat number 5 is feral. She won't come inside unless she thinks I can't see her.
Wow, you know what, too? And I'm looking, you know what else I just figured out, too? I'm looking at your blog spot, and it even says you're the 5th wife. So you're the 5th cat as well.
Could be.
Wow.
His nickname for me was actually the name of his first cat when he was a young child.
That's interesting. And, you know, and I think, you know, cats in general can open doorways to other dimensions as well as other animals, including, you know, the croak of frogs and certain sounds in the animal kingdom can open up portals and dimensions. And maybe he was that cat somehow rescued him from the paranoia at one time. And I think that it did play a role in his you know, because I think that this world is kind of interwoven with chaos and destruction magic in a way. And this technology or psychotronics that certain magicians and even covert military possibly are using, they're combining chaos magic with technology. And when chaos magic is summoned, some people aren't ready for the changes that it brings. And it can corrupt someone and be dangerous. And I think that possibly even the FBI or other institutions are using this technology, and it might have been what's running this world.
Well, you know, they said that they shut down the remote viewing program, but it probably just went dark.
Yeah.
Into black projects.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, that movie, Men Who Stare at Goats, was really not what it was about. And interestingly, at least two of the psychics who were involved in the program as remote viewers died under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking, too, that you know, Phil had at one time contacted the FBI, right, and was telling them about certain harassments he was getting or being harassed or something like that. And I feel that's almost like the definition of being of mind control and programming is going to your abusers for help. And they might be the ones that were infiltrating his life, you know, and then he you know, he may be
more distrustful of the CIA. And
I'm just using the FBI as an example. I mean, just our government and their agencies in general.
Yeah, but the CIA in particular actually hired Nazis after World War II.
Oh, yeah.
To spy on the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union hired Nazis to spy on us.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a good idea.
No. And that's like his book, Man in the High Castle, is about, you know, another timeline where the Nazis actually won and Hitler lived, right?
Oh, yes. And he actually believed that it was, in a sense, literally true.
Yeah, it was.
The Nazis just kind of picked up and moved out of Germany into countries with more natural resources to exploit.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go to break in like 2 minutes, so I don't want to get into it now. But after the break, I for sure want to ask you about how you said that they tapped into the radio besides the bed. And I'm interested to hear that. I also feel that he has some kind of attack, like some kind of I don't want to say it's a spirit or something with him, but there is some kind of like a young woman energy attached with him as well. So I don't know if he had some kind of daughter who passed away or something like that in his life, but there's some kind of something that comes along with him, you know? So I don't know if that makes sense or nothing, but maybe we can get back into it after the break. But it's amazing.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we could get into it, because I'm feeling it strong right now, and I feel it's an integral part of who he was. And it's amazing that he even trusted anyone at all, and, you know, with the kind of bombardment I feel that he was under, I could feel the paranoia in him, you know. And you caught a glimpse of that, and you're probably one of the only people alive that can share these experiences. And I don't think people really actually understand how important both of your works are, you know. And, you know, we'll get way back into this after break, everyone. We are with the one and only Tessa Dick here on the Para X Radio Network. And this is Spiral Radio. The song coming up is called Kandahar by Far Radio Clouds. We'll be back after this and Spiral out.
For making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
And we are back, and that song is called Kandahar by Far Radio Clouds, and all the music you hear tonight is either by me or by my friend Ricky Rodriguez, who you can find at Far Radio Clouds Analog Driver, and you can find that on SoundCloud and Reverb Nation and many other places out there. So our guest tonight you can find at TessaDick.com, and you can also find her on Facebook and her Blogspot, and you can find her books on Amazon, and they're on Amazon, right, Tessa?
Right. They're on other websites, but Amazon has my author page that lists all my books, and they tend to have good prices, too.
Cool.
I try to keep I try to keep the prices under $15 for a paperback.
That's a really good price, actually.
Thank you.
So,
I do my best.
Yeah, I know it's hard. I mean, being just an artist in any way is a struggle. I know. I've been plugging away at music for a long time and different things, and it's hard to just keep your head above water sometimes. And I think also most that make it rich, they also have to kind of sell their soul in some ways, and maybe that what's waiting for us, spiritually, is going to be rewarding because of the struggle and the hardships that we go through just to keep our creative roots.
Could be. I do know that I'm very glad I never got into anything with Hollywood. The recent news is really, really scary.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the whole pedophile, everything that's being, coming out now that most people have been sweeping under the carpet for years, it's like the world is under, like what I said, it's like under a spell of some kind of chaos and destruction, and that people are just throwing people in the fire, to sit there and watch them burn. Hopefully they won't get picked because the next man's burning, something like that,
Well, we've always heard about the casting couch, but
yeah,
didn't realize how disgusting it really is and how widespread.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in a way, too, I mean, when you're, not to bring up anybody's names or stuff, but, when you're a child actor and you're 13, 14 years old, and something like that takes place, that would be the last day I was an actor. I would never, stay and continue to do movies. And I don't know. In a way,
there's a reason why Shirley Temple's mother never let her go anywhere without her mother.
Yeah. I would imagine. I heard stories of Shirley Temple as well, and things that happen. I know, I have a close family member who's a pretty famous actor, and I've been around it, and I know that not only is Hollywood, but the political world is.
Oh, yeah.
Goes hand in hand.
Probably. Politics is probably worse.
Yeah, and I saw it firsthand. I lived in Long Beach, California for 2 years in, 2002, 2003, around that time. And I saw some things in the Long Beach area with the political Republican Party that horrified me.
I think it was Henry Kissinger said that power is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
I guess he was right.
Yeah, you're right. And it's more than that too. I think it's some kind of dark sex rituals, and that's being designed, like they're doing it, and it's like they're using the young energy, that energy of children as children, and they're using their high psychic energy to make it even a more powerful ritual, and that's the ultimate of ultimate darkness, and to me that should be, there's no cure for that. If you're involved with that, then you're just, there's no cure for someone like that. That is just pure
evil.
There is
power, great power in sex magic, but it's also going to burn anyone who tries to use it.
That's true.
And they don't realize that.
You're right, Tessa. I can't agree with you more. And so to get back to your life and certain things that happened, you were saying how Phil had some kind of some kind of interaction with the radio besides the bed, right?
Right.
And this is what you're talking about in the book that you wrote, Firebright. The
yes. Yeah. We were in bed but not asleep yet, and Philip asked me to turn off the radio, so I did. But it kept playing, so I unplugged it, and it still kept playing. I just heard popular music, but Phil heard the singers, Carly Simon and Linda Ronstadt, telling him that he was no good and he should die. The Linda Ronstadt song was "You're No Good."
Yeah, I know.
And the Carly Simon song was "You're So Vain."
Oh my God! Yeah, that's not by coincidence. Yeah,
right. And it was not too long after that when Phil had his experience of I guess you could call this female voice either Sophia, which means wisdom, or the Sibyl, which is a title, not a name. It's the Sibyl is the title of an oracle, and the most famous one was at Delphi.
Yeah, and I think what they're channeling is some sort of artificial intelligence that can tap in to the genetic memory of everything. Anything that's ever been thought or done, it can kind of tap into it and replicate it and throw it into your mind somehow. And I think that he was interfaced with some kind of artificial intelligence.
At one point, he was convinced that he was, that there was a satellite in Earth orbit that was communicating with him.
Really? I mean, and where do you, you know, just someone doesn't just come up with that. I mean, there had to have been, for a smart man like that, there had to have been some real hardcore evidence for him to truly believe that with every fiber of his being. And I feel that that's what gave him his bouts of terror that I could feel. And I'm interested to hear, I know before the break we talked about, I mentioned about a young girl. Did he have a daughter pass away or something like that?
His twin sister died as an infant, and he was always hoping that she would be reincarnated so he could meet her.
Wait, so he was a twin?
Yes.
Huh.
And his twin sister, Jane, was too small and simply could not. She survived for about 6 weeks.
Is that common knowledge? Is that talked about in his books and stuff?
Yes. And Phil barely survived himself. The hospital didn't think either one of them would live, but Phil managed to live.
Well, I know that he was, that I knew. I knew that he was a premature baby. I didn't realize that was a twin, though.
That's why he was premature. He was barely more than 2 pounds.
Yeah, no, I heard on another interview that he was born premature, but I never, they didn't mention the twin part.
Well, being a twin is,
so they basically tried to kill
special.
Him from, I think that they tried to prevent, you know, some unseen force tried to prevent him from coming into this timeline and putting those what he was destined to put into the media, you know. And I think that it is possibly by design all of that, and that these beings that I call the Capinera, these time jumpers, might be what was taking place. And I know that your guy's home was invaded at one time. Was that before you met him?
Yeah, that was about 6 months more than that. What was November 17th, 1971, and I met him in the first week of July in 1972, anyway, his experience with this, what he called an AI voice, an artificial intelligence that seemed to be on board a satellite, he called it Valis. And of course, that's the title of one of his novels.
Huh. Yeah, no, I never heard of that one.
He was relatively unknown and living in poverty for most of his life. And his agent returned Valis and told him he couldn't sell it.
Wow.
It didn't get published till after Blade Runner was released.
Wow. So when I know I've heard a story of him seeing some kind of pink light. And you referred to this in Firebright as well, right? This pink light that appeared. And was the pink light speaking to him?
No. It was a visual thing. And it was in the form of a rectangle, and he thought it had the proportions of the golden rectangle that the ancient Greeks and the Knights Templar used in architecture. You'll find that ratio in many of the Gothic cathedrals.
Yeah, almost like the pies.
Yeah, it's called phi, P-H-I.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up. It's a ratio that's actually very close to pi, but not quite the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, you also find it in the Parthenon and other Greek temples. And in Leonardo's drawings of the human form. Well, anyway, that's a little bit off track, but it began after he was blinded temporarily by a bright flash of light. And when he looked away, he saw the typical phosphine activity, a sort of pink rectangle floating in front of his face because the light had come off a sticker in our window that was rectangular in shape.
Huh.
And at one point, after our cat Pinky had died, Phil saw Pinky emerging from this pink rectangle, and he was strong and healthy again, but he was a cartoon cat.
Whoa, so he saw the cat emerging from the... Wow, so this cat is really a part of his story.
Well, the cartoon cat walked over to the bed where Phil was lying.
It said, heavens to Murgatroyd. No.
Yeah, and touched him on the shoulder. As Phil thought he was being reassured, but not long after that, Phil dislocated his shoulder and had to have surgery.
Wow. The same shoulder?
And he had an old injury from a car accident that made it real easy for his shoulder to come out of the socket. But when he dislocated it this time, there was a relatively new surgery to correct that so it wouldn't happen again. So he got the surgery and never dislocated his shoulder again.
Wow, that's really interesting. And, you know, that's interesting that you said surgery, too, because I had a dream about him a while back. And in the dream, he was telling me that he was the doctor of this room. And he was saying he was the doctor, and he was wearing, like, a doctor's... outfit, like a doctor's long white coat, and he had like a stethoscope and stuff, and he said he was the doctor of this room, and I didn't know what it meant. But then I had read an article about like him predicting and seeing in some kind of like trance-like state your son's ailment. And I don't know if you can explain that to us, but I'm interested to hear more because that, you know, I don't know if maybe on another timeline he was a doctor and he was somehow tapping into that alternate reality. But I feel that this is more than just being a science fiction writer, that he actually was having a bleed through of some of these other timelines.
Well, Joe exaggerated and embellished quite a bit. But something definitely took him over. He was taking a nap. He did that a lot, and it turns out he really was ill, but that's another story. Anyway, he got up, walked out to the living room, and told me, "Our son has a hernia, call the doctor, and tell him our son has an inguinal hernia." And then Phil went back to bed, and the whole time he appeared to be in a trance. He was speaking in a monotone, and his eyes were only half open. And I don't think he really was in control when he told me that. But I called the doctor and told him, you know, that our son had a hernia. So we made an appointment, and it was not an immediate emergency. But when we went to the specialist, we learned that, yes, our son had a hernia, and we must not let him cry for long because that crying could cause the hernia to strangulate, and that could kill him.
Wow.
But our son was not old enough to have the surgery for, from September to January of the following year, so 3 or 4 months. He had, you know, he was too young to get the surgery when we discovered the hernia.
Wow. So you had to, like, try to not make him cry for 3 months?
We got no sleep because, of course, he was an infant who woke up several times a night and started crying.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, but man.
He lived through it and got the hernia corrected and all is well.
That's an amazing story.
He's a wonderful young man. He has black belts in things I cannot spell or pronounce.
Wow. Yeah, I've been doing martial arts most of my life as well. That's cool. Does he have any writing abilities? Does he have any psychic abilities? Does anything...
He's working on a novel, but... He has a job with long hours, so
yeah,
it's going slowly.
You're late. Yeah.
He does have some talent.
Was he very psychic as a young child?
Probably.
Yeah.
I never put any focus on psychic abilities. I kind of was put off of that by my experiences.
Yeah, it could be scary. Definitely could be scary. But you know.
Well, there's critters in the psychic realm that
you
really don't want to mess with.
I agree. That's the scary part.
Don't even want to meet them.
That's true. And you know, when people are not ready for certain things and they're not grounded themselves, you know, bad things can happen. It can get stuck with you and, you know, embedded in who you are and change who you are.
Exactly. You need protection.
Yep. And I know we were running out of time. We already have 5 minutes, but we could probably have you back on some other time. And I have another show as well. It's a 2-hour show on another network. Maybe we can have you on there sometime. But in this last couple of minutes, is there anything that you're working on now that you'd like to share or anything that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I am working on another book about Phil by popular demand. I'm not sure exactly what the title will be, but the title will mention Blade Runner. And that will include my review of the film as soon as I've actually seen it. I've only read reviews so far.
The newer one you're talking about? Or the older
Blade Runner. Well, it'll talk about both, but I haven't seen the new one, Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Me either. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
No, of course I've seen the original.
Yeah. And I mean, do you know if they give him credit for in like the credits at all in the new one?
Oh, yes. At the very end, it says that it's dedicated to the memory of Philip K. Dick because he died shortly before it was released.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Blade Runner allowed Phil finally to have some security. He wasn't wealthy, but he was financially secure for the first time in his life.
Wow. You know, it's a shame because I really feel that that is by design that people are given these problems, and you know, high psychic spiritual energy people, I think, get bombarded by certain unseen forces that make them have a lot of problems and make them be troubled and paranoid to keep that energy suppressed. And I feel that he broke through that time, you know, through those barriers and was able to release these gems.
Well, he definitely wanted to heal this world. He felt that all the evil in this world is a sickness that needed medicine.
I agree.
I think some of his work is a form of medicine for this world, and not just the people but everything, especially the animals who suffer through absolutely no fault of their own.
I agree with you on that one. And you know, so one more last question before you go. Do you think it's, you know, possible that, you know, when you guys said that your home was invaded 6 months before you actually met him, his home was invaded. Do you think it's possible that those home invasions were done, that home invasion was done by something otherworldly, like the what I called the Capinera or these time jumpers? Because when time jumpers come, they're not looking for valuables. They're not looking, well, they're looking for valuables, but it's not gold or diamonds or money. They're looking for texts, like scriptures, writings, writing material, things like that. And I think that's possibly what came into his home that day and tore it inside out.
It's possible some of his manuscripts were taken, unpublished works.
Wow.
So,
and maybe those works have turned up on other timelines and other realities.
I think they wanted to prevent him from publishing his novels.
That could be as well. That could be as well, for sure.
He did lose his only copy of one novel, but the other one, there was a copy, actually two of them, there were copies in other people's hands.
Yeah.
But he did lose one.
And he did find at one time cameras or some kind of spy technology in the back of the TV or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah. A friend of his showed it to him. He took the back off the television set and showed Phil the camera that was spying on him.
Wow. Wow. It's the amount of information that you have, Tessa, and the experiences that you've been through are monumental, and it's an honor to have you here on Spiral Radio, and I would love to have you back another time. And everybody, you can find Tessa at tessadick.com, and I'll be having that posted on my website as well. Thank you again, Tessa.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. I want to thank my producer, Sarge, everybody out there, Pararex Radio, and we'll be back next week. See you next time, and Spiral out.